looking at tomorrow night and Tuesday as great nights of soul winning. I really feel it. I love that song you sang. That's what it's all about, folks, winning souls. And so you're looking at a man. The only thing that really motivates me anymore is to see people move forward to repent. And that's the truth. And I love you, but as far as just wanting to minister to you, to try to stir you, you know, that challenge left some time ago. I want to see new faces in the altar every service. And so tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, great nights of glory. Be here. Tell everybody else. God's going to be here at the end of this month on the 28th. Myself, along with Brother Jerry, the choir pastor, we're all going up to Bartlesville, Oklahoma for a tremendous revival rally. We've already had one of those. And I think it's last of February, a mighty move of God. Got a letter the other day from people that still talk about how it changed their life over there in Claremore, Oklahoma. But Bartlesville, how many knows where Bartlesville is? Just right up the road here. Going to be going up to the 28th. Noise the news abroad. But until then, now, we're right smack dab in the middle of the month. And if I'm understanding things right, the last Sunday of this month is Easter. Is that right? The 30th, the 31st. It's the first time I remember Easter falling in the month of March. Now, that means the Sunday before Easter, which is next Sunday, is that right? That's Palm Sunday. So, pretty smart, ain't I? Amen, folks. You just got to figure it out. Palm Sunday, next Sunday. And that's when they shouted Hosanna, and we're going to be here, I tell you. We're going to be here shouting the praises of God next week. The month of March, I believe, is going to be a tremendous time in the presence of God. So let me encourage you, don't miss a service tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Then we gather next Sunday, Palm Sunday. Then we go to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and come back for an Easter celebration, believing God for great things to be wrought. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight as I minister this message, there's no doubt in my heart. Let me just say this before I minister. I appreciate Georgia. Georgia is our secretary, and me and Deb feel like that God gave us the best when He gave Georgia to us. She's keeping things together back in Ozark, but she's coming up here every Sunday and ministering in a warfare class, a spiritual warfare class. If you're not involved in a class on Sunday morning, I believe that it's more than just happenstance, coincidence. I believe it's providence that we're talking about warfare right now. Because I tell you, things are heating up, folks, in that world. And I sense that, and you do too. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we came out this morning, Holy Spirit assured me and showed me that there's a new dimension that we're moving into. And it doesn't always have to be just hollering and screaming and shouting. I'm going to tell you, there's a depth of God that's awesome. And some of you experienced that this morning. Well, I want you to get ready. There's battle going on, but the greater the battle, the greater the victory. Because greater is He that's in you than he that is after you. Amen. And so if you're not involved in spiritual warfare, and or if you are and you don't understand everything that's going on, her class, I believe, will be a tremendous blessing to you. It's Sunday morning. Don't want to pull you from other classes, but want everybody to get involved in what God is saying as we move into the 22nd week of this revival. The message tonight is the kind of a message that it may sound humorous, but I'm as serious as I can be, and I really am. And I'm telling you right now, folks, heavy hangs over the preacher that hears from heaven before he comes to the podium. A few moments ago, as I lay on the carpet and just begin to weep and begin to repent, say repent. That's right, I was repenting. For what? Don't know. Just know, God, I'm so unworthy to stand on that podium. I'm so unworthy to go out there and preach your word. And if there's anything in me that would hinder, hurt, harm, grieve, vex, distress, quench the Holy Spirit, forgive me. Brokenness came over me. And I remember hearing the story about the preacher that didn't show up to preach. And the pastor sent the deacon after him that came back and said, all I can hear, he's in a room. And he's telling somebody, I'm not going out there tonight. I'm not going out there tonight. Finally, the preacher got a little bit nervous, and so he went over and he listened close. And the man was talking to God, and here's what he was saying. I'm not going out there tonight without you. I'm not going out there tonight without you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I feel tonight. Tonight's message is a heavy message. It may seem hard, it may seem hot, but I've got to digest it before you do. And so if I can do it, how many knows you can do it by the grace of God? So I'm serious. The Holy Spirit has a word for you tonight. I want you to turn your spiritual hearing aid up 8 times in the book of Revelation, 8 times in the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. That means one thing, the Spirit is speaking. How many knows the Spirit is speaking? It also means that not everybody is hearing what the Spirit is saying. But I've heard what he said tonight. He knows who is going to be here tonight. He's got your number. He knows your name. And so this message has your name on it. And I want you to realize the enthusiasm that the first pastor of the First Assembly of God Church in Jerusalem must have had to see that great invasion of Holy Ghost revival. James was that pastor. And James was there to pastor that revival. Awesome, mighty move, conflagration of fire, wind, glory, river anointing flowing through the church. Tremendous sense of exuberant, jubilant ecstasy, interrupted by a word from God that was heavy. And he writes in James 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lust that war in your members, your lust you have not, you kill desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight your war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Say amiss. One preacher said, you ask Amos. How many knows it's amiss, not Amos? He said, don't ask Amos, ask God. Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now these are harsh words in the middle of revival. Ye adulterers and adulteresses us, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. I'm going to tell you something, folks, that's heavy. I don't want to be the enemy of God. I want to be the friend of God. That means I can't be the friend of this world. As the revival intensifies, intensity increases, you're going to find the dividing line. You're going to find the Holy Spirit laying a heavy hand upon you, demanding some things. And do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth through envy? But I love this verse. But he giveth more grace. Everybody say more grace.
More grace.
How many wants more grace?
More.
Well, here's how you get it, folks. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep, or weep and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy into heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A whole chapter. And I could quote the whole book of James to you tonight. I remember when God gave the book of James to me. But right there in the middle of that great revival, James is writing a letter talking about pride, division, dissension, worldliness, and he's calling the church to repentance. How many knows, even in the midst of revival, we need to have and maintain the attitude of repentance? Put your other hand up right now and just begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. Praise him. You're going to need to praise him tonight, folks. You're going to need to praise him now. Open your heart. God's going to pour some truth into you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Someone said that there is a family that has caused all the trouble in the world. Meanest family in town, troublemakers, the ultimate in causing all the trouble, and they're called the Tater family. There's dictator that says, I will rule or I will ruin. There's spectator who watches from the sidelines and criticizes. There's commentator who's always has something to say. There's imitator who likes to act like everything's all right. Then there's twins, irritator and agitator. How many's ever met them before? They tell me that all the trouble in the church is caused by these twins. Then there's rotator from church to church, mood to mood, mountain to mountain. Well, I told you, folks, it may sound humorous, but I'm serious. God gave this message to me for you. There's hesitator who just waits, and there's devastator. And I want you to realize that the devil wants to devastate. In fact, that's his whole goal. He has come to rule, to ruin, to destroy, to devastate, doom, damn souls to a literal hell. And so he's the killer. The number one killer today in America is Satan, the Tater family. I want to talk about him. The original sin, all humankind, is a sin of pride. I want you to realize that. And I've said it before. Let me just share in reiteration. The devil determined he would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. And so God gave him his walking papers. And so the devil, his expulsion from heaven is told in Isaiah the 14th chapter and in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, I beheld him fall out of heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Satan fell because of pride. Dave Wilkerson said if you're going to categorize sin, you got to put pride at the top of the list. Because the wise man said, the preacher says, that pride comes and then cometh shame. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you can nip pride in the bud, you don't have to worry about those other sins. But when a heart is lifted up in pride, and there's haughty headiness, then all these other sins will follow. Realize that. Now, folks, that's why the Holy Spirit wants to search our hearts tonight. Wants us to realize it's the first to come, it's the last to go, it's the hardest to recognize and deal with it, and if you think you're rid of it, that's the sign you've got it. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the sinister minister of all devastation, destruction is pride. In Christ's time, he was surrounded by pride. The Romans, proud of their might and power. Mighty Rome that ruled the known world for 1,500 years, and the cliche and the slogan, all roads lead to Rome, was used rightly so because it was the mighty, booming, metropolitan power of military might. Jews were proud of their religion. We're the children of Abraham. And they knew that their denomination was the right denomination, and there can be denominational pride as well as national pride. And then the Greeks were proud of their intellect and their education, and there can be pride of race. There can be pride of place. There can be pride of face. There can be pride of grace. I'll elaborate on that in just a few moments. But number one, ladies and gentlemen, pride will cause you to forget the grace that you've been shown. Number two, it'll cause the violation of a place that you've been given. Number three, it will promote the insistence of space that you think is yours. And number four, concern over the face that you feel that you've lost. Pride revolves around me, my needs, my feelings, my opinions, my dictates, my mandates. And so we become opinionated because of pride. Listen to me, folks. All those taters that I've just shared with you, they're all rotten taters. Amen, somebody. Dictator says, it's my way or it's the highway. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for deacons. You got a great deacon board. But deacons are to be servants. Not only are deacons to serve, the pastoral staff is to serve. Not only is the pastoral staff to serve, everybody in the church is to serve. The evangelist is to serve. We are servants of God to each other. And so there's no big I's or little U's. The ground is the level at the foot of the cross. God has no grandchildren, and he has no stepchildren. He also has no favorite children. There are some that have got closer than others. There are no favorites, but there are some intimates. Amen. And God doesn't love you more than he loves me, or me more than he loves you. He loves all of us and wants all of us to get close to him. And God will not withdraw any good thing from those who walk humbly and walk holy and walk uprightly. If you want the blessing of God, you've got to lay all of your pride aside. I said, you've got to stop your proud thinking, your haughty, heady, high-mightiness, and humble yourself and come as a child. And if you will humble yourself, how many knows that God will pour his grace out upon your life? Now, folks, that's the only way that you get more grace. Except you become as a child. They're arguing over who's the most spiritual. And he takes a towel and washes their feet. They're arguing over who's the greatest. And he takes a child. The day Jesus took a child for a sermon text, he touches the tiny tot's head with his tender hand and pronounces heaven's highest blessing on the little person. Smith Wigglesworth was a great man of God. And there was a man that wanted to know how he prayed, because to understand his prayer life was to tap in on his source of spiritual strength. And so he snuck up to his window one night, and as Smith Wigglesworth was retiring to go to bed, true story, he looked inside and he saw the aged apostle as he knelt down beside his bed and begin to pray. And this is the prayer that he prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. And then he went to bed and slept like a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. We're so caught up in sophisticated, educated prayers and degrees and pedigrees and positions and possessions and affluence and influence. Jesus didn't say, I want you to be a great man of God or a great woman of God. He said, I want you to be a child. And if you'll become like a child, he said, I will hide this from the wise and the prudent and the colleges, and I reveal my glory to those who are humble and broken and hungry for my grace. Come on, folks. God wants to reveal. The revelation of his glory. Dr. Karl Barth, a great noted Swiss theologian, was asked by reporters as he approached retirement age, what's the greatest truth you've ever discovered? The aged man of God bowed his head. When he raised his head, tears like twin rivers cascading down his cheeks, he made this startling statement. The greatest discovery I've ever made is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Lift your hands right now and say, oh God, help me to humble myself as a child. Open your mouth and just begin to praise him. Just begin to worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the dictator, the dictatorial spirit, Diotrephes and Demetrius, John talked about in 3 John. They want to rule. They want to have the preeminence. It's my way. Don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are? I've been in this church a long time. I've been in this revival. God's used me before, and God says, except you become as a child, a sense of humility. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Not long ago in the Brownsville revival, they interrupted the service because the children in the children's area were in intercessory prayer, and the awfulest throes of intercessory prayer was coming out of their little bellies and their little mouths. And they were crying out to God, and they were praying, and they stopped the revival. And they honed in, interrupted that prayer meeting just to behold and just to watch. And little kids, I'm talking about 8, 9, 10 years old, 6 and 7, were doubling over in intercession, and they were praying, and they were seeking God as the glory was coming down upon them. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's when you're having real revival. I looked up this morning, and I saw little children coming. Not long ago, I gave an altar call on a Wednesday night, and a whole slew of little kids with hands joined came down this side and stood here. What are you saying? Do not despise the day of the little one. Do not despise the day of small things. God's not looking for great men of God and great women of God. He said, except you become his children. How many knows he's great? I said, he's great. He's not looking for you to be great. He's great. He don't need your smarts. He's smart enough. I said, he knows how to build his church. He knows how to shake a nation, shake a civilization. God can heal the sick. He don't need your abilities. He needs your availability. He needs your humility. Get out of the way. The river is flowing. I said, let go and let the river anointing come into our homes, our lives, all the auxiliaries, all the areas of the church. Give him a hand of praise. I'm talking about humility. I'm talking about pride. Ladies and gentlemen, one little kid got on the lap of Santa Claus Christmas there in Pensacola. And Santa says, from the revival, Santa said, what do you want for Christmas? She says, Santa, don't lie to me. Do you know Jesus? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, every night, every night, night after night, Steve Hill will give that altar call. And he will say, don't lie. And those little kids that's been so instilled, when they said, except you become as a child, is he talking about sincerity, simplicity, believability, teachability, enthusiasm, excitement? I believe all the above. Amen. There's something sacred about looking through those innocents' eyes and just believing what you tell them. A sense of humility, a sense of hunger, a sense of receptivity. It's like concrete fresh poured. It's not formed yet. It's not set. You can do a lot with it. But let that concrete get hard. And some of us in our age and in our older years, we're set in our ways and we know it's got to be this way, and we've always lifted this hand to praise God and we're uncomfortable lifting this hand, or vice versa, and we've always nodded at a certain time, we've always prayed this prayer and said these words, and God said, listen folks, God doesn't take sides. He's not impressed with your sophistication, your education. Only one thing moves him, a humble, hungry, holy heart. And God is saying, if you want more, how many wants more? You want more grace? I said, you want more grace? Then humble yourself as a child and begin to praise him from your belly. I said, bellow from your belly. I love you, Jesus. Clap your hands. Wave your hands. Glorify him. Come on, give him a hand of praise. The Tater family, dictator, wants to rule. Now, you'll find him in families, a lot of families. There's one person. Things got to revolve around her, around him. And if they don't, they're not showing up for family reunion. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of pride. Spectator. At the cross, watching. In the revival, observing. They can tell you a lot about the revival. A lot of it's not really positive because, you see, they really haven't gotten the river. All they notice is the trash that all the river is bringing up on the banks. And they'll see all the refuse. They'll see all of the junk that's coming out of people's lives. But if they got in the middle of the river, they wouldn't see the junk. How many knows if you get in the middle of the river, you don't see all the junk? I'm telling you something, folks. There's always been hypocrisy. I said, there's always been hypocrisy. It's years ago, as a young preacher's boy, I made up my mind. I'm not going to let some half-wit, nitwit, two-bit hypocrite throw a fit, cause a split, make me quit. Amen. I made up my mind. I'm going to heaven. I said, I'm going to get right smack dab in the middle of that river anointing. Come on, give him a hand of praise. I'll wait. I've heard Evangelist Steve Hill say time and again, religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. And one of the biggest lies, and I don't care what denominational tag you're hiding behind, that tag don't mean a thing to God. I'm going to tell you right now, you come from other churches and you think, I just don't do it this way. What way? This isn't our way. I mean, those folks, I'm unimpressed with my way. I want God's way. But we say, no, you worship God in your way. And God says, no, that stinks. Your way is what stinks. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. What is that way? It's not the broad way, because the broad way don't seem right. Everybody knows that the bright lights of Broadway lead to destruction. And so that wide way is not the way that seems right. It's another way. It's man's way. It's not necessarily the devil's way, and we know it's not God's way, but it's man's way. It's the way of Cain, saying, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to worship God in my own way. And he leaves church and kills his brother. Amen. Folks, that's man's way. The way of religiosity. Bring the fruit of my hands, and I'll lift the right hand and give God a nod, and I've done God a favor. I've paid my tithe, and God said, you make me sick. My son hung on a cross for your sins, and you think you can give me a nod and appease me and please me? No. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, God is cleaning house, and God's going to mop the floor with sophisticated, proud, arrogant people that are trying to go into heaven their way. There's only one way. It's his way. Jesus is that way, and you're to worship God in spirit and in truth with your whole heart, mind, soul, body, past, present, future. Come on. Get rid of your stinking religion. Give him a hand of praise. You say, well, John, that offends me. I hope it does, folks. I hope it offends you. I hope it offends me. I want God to prick my heart. He's sick of our way. You see, we get some kind of way in our mind that we're to worship. And God tells you what you're supposed to do. He tells you in the Bible to clap your hands. He says to raise your hands. He says to praise him with a loud voice. He says to be still and know that I'm God. And all those ways are his ways. And so the way that you know and the time that you know and what to do and how to respond is by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's why to be born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit, it's not to walk in religiosity. It's not to walk in man's way of haughty, heady, high-minded, high-minded pride. It's to be humble and yield to the Holy Ghost. He knows who's here tonight. In this morning service, it was after 1, maybe 2 o'clock, that a man was still laying here on the floor in the power of God. I prayed for him. He broke. He crumbled. He fell. Don't know who he was. Reminded me, could have been a preacher, but he came. He was at the end of himself, and God knew it, and God set him free. What are you saying, folks? I'm saying God will order the services. He will order the revival. It's not your revival. It's not orchestrated by man's preaching. It's orchestrated by you getting out of the way, humbling yourself, and as you begin to worship him, that river anointing comes. The dove begins to fly. I said, the dove begins to fly. I want that dove to light and land on us in week number 22 and give us a supernatural harvest of souls. Too proud to get involved, but we'll watch it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. For those that say, well, my religion's a private matter, that's got to be about the biggest lie the devil ever told you, folks. Jesus was hung publicly, nude, for you. That's not too private. How many knows that's pretty public? And for you to sit and hide and hoard and say, well, I'll just worship God my way and I'm going to go to heaven and I don't need to do what you're saying, preacher. Tell me to lift my hand, I ain't going to do it. And I'm not telling you that, folks. I mean, it was God's telling you that. I said, God says, lift your hands without wrath and doubt. And God says to pray without ceasing. God's telling you to do some things. You're not fighting the preacher. You're fighting the Holy Ghost. You're grieving the Spirit of God. And God wants humility. If there's rebellion and pride, it will dam up the river of God. You'll never have more grace. You may have enough to get by, but I'm going to tell you there's more than enough. I said there's more than enough. There's abundant life. I said there's supernatural reservoir of God's divine energy that'll surge through your soul and set you free from head to heel. God will save your family. God will heal your body. There's an anointing we haven't felt yet. It's on the way. It's called more, 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 more. I'm hungry for more. Humble your heart. Surrender your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise him now, folks. I want you to praise him. You're not doing this for the preacher. He told you to lift your hands without wrath and doubting. He told you to open your mouth and lift your voice and praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him. Praise him tonight. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shama Masiki. Thank you, Jesus. And as you're seated tonight, the dictator, the spectator who says this is private, I worship God my way. No, folks, well, I'm not worshiping God my way. My hand's in the air. That's not my way. That's his way. With a loud voice, that's his way. Receiving the Holy Spirit, that's his way. It's his way, folks. You stand in heaven, you'll not sing, I did it my way. You'll sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You'll sing To God Be the Glory. One song sung there, folks. I said, one song sung there. And that's the song, Worthy is the Lamb. I'm telling you, pride is so sinister. It slips in. And you hide behind the guise of religion, and you become a part of the tater family. They're all rotten taters. They've caused all the trouble in the world. They'll split and splinter homes and churches, divide revivals. There's dictator, there's spectator, there's commentator. Blah, 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 always talking. Baked preacher for supper, fried deacon for breakfast, stew teacher for dinner. Say amen or I'll preach to midnight, folks. Not talking to you, we're talking to those that ain't here. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Don't get so offended. You don't say amen, you make me think I'm hitting you, but I'm telling you. It's usually the dictator or the spectator that's the commentator. If you're rattling all the time, you're telling more than you know. How many knows what I'm saying? You just need to realize that. Paul says, study to be quiet. How many knows that'd be a full-time study for most of us? Amen? You know, there's a course in college to be quiet. How many knows that we all need to go to that one? Amen. But I'm telling you right now, you know, to be a commentator is to comment about everything. I'm telling you right now, God says pride makes you think you have an answer and a comment for everything. And so as a result, you know it all, a sense of knowing it all, a sense of, hey, listen to me. And when you listen to somebody, you're listening out of courtesy, just waiting for them to shut up so you can interrupt. Amen. You got something to say. Study to be quiet. Whew. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, Samson slew the Philistines with a jawbone. But he's not the only one that is killed with a jawbone. How many knows what I'm saying? People waking up everywhere. Come on. If that makes you mad, that's that pride. What's offending you tonight about this? It's the pride. Why are you preaching like this, preacher? I'm going to tell you right now, God gave me this message. I didn't even want to come out of here tonight. Laid in that floor, and I heard the deacons praying, but I couldn't move. You know why? I was groaning. God's saying there's people out there tonight that's making me sick. God said they're here, and I want to set them free from religion. I want to set them free from the pride. There's a river anointing in the land, but not every church is in that river anointing. That's why I'll not book a revival. In fact, folks, I'm telling you right now, the worst thing you can do is start filling a schedule with people wanting you for revival. If that church isn't ready to lay aside their pride, lay aside their ways, we've tried to build the church for years and the world still goes to hell. How many knows one wave of his majestic hand, he can stop and stymie the forces of darkness in the whole Midwest, turn the tide, and revival will be released that all the demons cannot harness or hinder. Give him a hand of praise. I'm telling you, God knows how to build his church. I could say a lot about commentator, but I'm not trying to be funny. I want to go on. I'm serious. Imitator. Say imitator. Ananias and Sapphira, they looked real. He didn't say you'll know them by their suits. He said you know them by their fruits. There's a difference. Thousands. Amen? Thousands. Multiplied thousands. Dressed up on the outside. Messed up on the end. Brother Ananias and Sister Sapphira probably be elected to a prominent, preeminent position in a church, but God struck them dead. You know why? In this revival, he knows our hearts. It's not about imitating and acting. He told that Laodicean church, you got three groups. You got believers, you got unbelievers, you also got make-believers. You got that acting world. You know, if you're Pentecostal, act like it. No, folks, we've acted for too long. I said, we've become professional actors. We know how to mime and mimic, and you know, the preacher can throw out stimuli. We know how to raise up a hand, you know, and jerk a leg. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know, we even know how to manufacture some of these things. Let's stop acting. He didn't say act like you're born again or act like you're filled with the Spirit. He said be born of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Brother Clendenin looked at me years ago as a boy preacher, and I was trying to figure out what I believed. He said, John Davis, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. He said you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be good, but you got to be real. He said be real. You know what God is saying to the church? He said be real. If you're hurt, tell me you're hurting. If there's sin, tell me there's sin. If you need me, tell me you need me. But be real. Stop the sophisticated, educated, and stained glass voice. My God, my God, my God. God says, shut up, shut up, shut up. Cry out to me from your heart. There's a revival in the land. He's wanting some children. I said he's wanting some children that will humble and hunger after him with all their heart. Come on, folks. Get real. Get real. I want you to lift your hands and praise him tonight. You need to praise him to receive what God's given you tonight. Lift your voice and praise him. You need to get ready to receive what God's given you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to be seated just for a moment, folks. And I appreciate your receptivity to the message, but the real test where the rubber meets the road is a few moments when I give that call. God never misses. If I had to get up a sermon and come out here and hope that it worked, I'd be of all men most miserable. But when he arrests me and speaks to me and says it's time, and this is a message that's been kind of percolating for some time. It's been on the front burners. But God just put it such a hot, intense heat in my spirit today and says it's time. Pride, the family of pride. The Tater families, dictator, spectator, commentator, imitator. Ladies and gentlemen, there's irritator and agitator. These are twins, a thorn in your side. Some people feel like that they are self-anointed, self-appointed to really hurt you and hinder you and harness you and somehow try to run your life. A sign said it well. Why be contrary when just with a little effort you can be a real stinker? Amen. Now, folks, there's some people that live that way. I've got to believe because of pride, they're miserable, and so misery loves company, and so they make you miserable. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 13 and 10. It didn't say that your mother-in-law causes contention, your father-in-law. It didn't say that because of this, that, the other. There's a thousand things that we say is causing division. But the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Now, I choose to believe the Bible, folks. There's only one thing that is causing that contention between you and a brother, or you and a sister, and that's pride. Now, it's getting quiet here at St. Mary's Catholic Church, and so I used to think that you was really with me if you was running and slinging snot, burping, slurping, foaming at the mouth. But I'm going to tell you, I learned a long time that you get with me when you're real quiet. And you look at me as if to say, well, you got a lot of nerve, preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's not nerve I've got. It's the anointing that makes you bold. How many knows what I'm saying? And I'm going to say it again. You got something against a brother or against a sister, only one thing causing it. They may have some weird ways, and they may drive you up a pole. And I've seen those people. In fact, about everybody does that to me. How many knows what I'm saying? You all do it to me, folks, and I do it to you. And so we just know I've got that personality. You've got that. There's a clash. But I'm going to tell you, you humble yourself before God. God will give you more grace, and you'll find yourself going the second mile beyond the call of duty, bending over backwards, putting up with junk that you wouldn't put up with normally. Why? Because of the grace of God. It's God's family. God don't use you to whip his kids. It's God's church. How many knows God builds his church? I said, God builds his church. God's able to do what needs to be done. Get out of the way. Take your hand off the ark. If you think the ark is about to fall, you got dizziness in your own head. Amen. How many knows he's going to have a blood-bought, fire-baptized church? He knows how to defeat the devil, destroy the works of darkness, and put the enemy on the run. Come on, folks. Let go. Let God. Let go. Let God. Give him a hand of praise. Just how much of the grace of God do you want? Just how, do you have enough? 22 weeks, is that enough? 24, 23, 25, you know, 30, 40, 50, 90, 100? How much of the grace of God do you want? You see, the only limit will be your lack of humility. And when you come to a place, you say, oh, God, you're coming too far. You're moving in too close. That means I got to call a sister. And everybody knows that she's a rotten tater. Because she's everything to preach. In fact, some of you right now are thinking about people that fills the bill in this message. And you're not even thinking about yourself. How many knows God's talking to you? They're not here. You are. This message is for you. Boy, that'd blow your mind if God said, listen, you're the rotten tater. Oh, I'm not either. What in the world, God? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I give altar calls every night. And I'm going to tell you, one of these nights, and I've been tempted to do this for years. One of these nights, everybody that comes up, I'm going to say, no, you go back. You're okay. The rest of you, get up here. You're the ones that need it. Come on. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, I feel like the worst sinner in the world. I want to run up here. And I just want to fall up. Nobody's going to beat Harlan up here. Harlan's up here every service. I mean, knows what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know how he's feeling. I know how it's something in me. I was on that floor a while ago, And I know the junk's out of me. I've been there in Pensacola for 3 nights, sitting there on the platform, and they couldn't put a prayer badge on me, and they tried to get me to pray for people. Not on your life. I come down there to sit and soak. And so I will sit there in Steve Hill's chair, and I will just shake under the power. I believe that chair is anointed. I believe it's plugged in somewhere. Amen. Because I will just shake under the power of God as the anointing comes upon me. And I begin to repent, and I begin to pray, and I begin to weep, and I begin to cry. I'm not bragging on John Davis. I'm putting John Davis down. John Davis is John Davis's problem. Amen. The biggest problem that I've ever had is with me. But I'm not your problem. You are your problem. Amen. The preacher's not your problem. I said the deacon's not your problem. Your wife is not your problem. Come on. I'll go a step further. Hold your applause. The devil is not your problem. He's been defeated 2,000 years at Calvary. How many knows? If you submit to God, you can resist him, and he's got to go. I said he's got to flee from you. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Come on, folks. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. The truth, it'll make you free. Submit yourself to God. The devil's got to go. He's got to go in the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands while you're standing. Lift your voice and praise him all over this building. Come on, lift your voice and praise him. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I want you, just as you're standing, just for a moment before you're seated again, I want you to listen to me, folks. What I just shared with you could be the greatest revelation that God's ever given us, and it's so simple. He says, if you will submit yourself to God, the devil's already defeated. He's got to flee from you. So that means that the devil can't hinder or can't stop the flow of the river unless you let him. If you will humble yourself, the devil's defeated, his hands are tied, and he knows it. And I'm going to tell you, he's singing the blues right now. He's crying right now. Demons are gathering around him trying to comfort him. I just see him dialing 911, folks. He's checking into Hades Hospital. He's hurting for certain. Come on. I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ has the authority and the anointing and the ability and the power to put the devil under our feet and to keep him there. Once and for all, he's not going to rise again in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and praise God. What you're doing right now is you're submitting yourself to God. This is what you're doing, folks. The hounds of hell will not harass you any longer. You're submitting yourself to God in praise and worship and humility. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to be seated just for a few more moments. Now, folks, this message has been percolating a long time. It's for you tonight. God saw you coming. And so I'm not going to get in a hurry. There's a lot of things I want to cover. I want you to turn to somebody and say, boy, I really need this. Tell them I need it. Come on, go ahead. You know, it's so easy to say, boy, you need this or you need that. And I just want you right now to wipe out of your mind all those rotten taters that you're thinking about. Every family's got them. But you know, somewhere tonight in a service is one of the family members, brother, sister, and they're hearing a message like this, and they're thinking of you. Amen. Now, ladies. That's just the way it works. Self-deception is the worst deception. Religious deception is right up there with it. But to be open before God, to humble yourself and say, Lord, you're talking to me tonight. Could it be that I'm not totally submissive to your will? That's why the harassment, the antagonizing, haunting, taunting powers of darkness are dogging my every step. I don't have victory. Boy, the devil's powerful. Oh, he's me. No, folks. He had his stinger pulled at Calvary. He goes about as a roaring lion, as he imitates. But how many knows the real lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed? So the devil is like a roaring lion. They tell us in over in Africa that the roaring lion is the one that is old, aged. And to destroy its prey, it will come up to a bush and roar and scare rabbits out. And the lion can't run because it's old, but the minute the rabbit comes out, it'll hit it, swat it, kill it, and gum it to death, I guess. I don't know, but you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. And I know, I know if I was talking in the flesh, I'm not in the flesh. This coat may look like I'm in the flesh, but I'm not in the flesh, amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if I was talking in the flesh, I wouldn't have the nerve to say what I just said, because I know one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat, we're no match for him in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, when you are immersed and baptized and submerged in the river anointing, that lion comes and roars. You just laugh at him, folks. He's toothless. I said, he's been defanged at Calvary. Amen. He's been defeated. The devil is not on your back, in your head, in your bedroom. Come on, folks. Get him out of your house. Tell him to hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He's got to go. He's got to flee. But the whole goal, and here's where the rubber meets the road, is the area of submission. Submission, dictator. We'll go so far, but hey, it's my church, it's my family, my finances, my pastor, controlling spirit, spectator. We'll watch the revival, and we'll just keep watching. And one of these nights, everybody that comes forward, and if you miss Monday and Tuesday, you're missing it. You're missing a bunch of new people coming forward every Monday and Tuesday to repent. But the day's coming. I don't know if it'll be here or somewhere. I'm going to say, all of you are okay already. You go on back and sit down. The rest of you need God. Amen. I'm going to do that because spectators, Pharisees, Sadducees, they would sit and watch the miracles of Jesus. And they would watch. And they just went from town to town to watch. They turned into commentators. Do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, we know Jesus. They could tell you everything he did. But they're in hell tonight. Are you listening to me, folks? Spectators, commentators, turn into irritators and agitators. All the trouble in the world caused by pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Fault finders have more faults than anybody. Nitpickers. Strain at a gnat, smoke a camel. I mean, swallow a camel. Amen, folks. Rotator. Nobody can please rotator. You see? Church to church. Church to church. Flip-flopping, church hopping, bebopping, tree-topping. Amen, folks. All over the city. That preacher there, something wrong with him. That preacher, something wrong with all the preachers. Boy, I tell you, you've got a list a mile long about everybody that done you dirty, done you wrong, and nobody can really meet your need. God's saying the problem is not people. The problem is you. Hesitator, procrastinate, wait. Felix, tomorrow, I'm going to wait. Better date. I'm going to come to God, but I'm just going to watch this thing. I'm going to wait it out. And the trumpet's going to sound. You're going to be left behind, folks. It's going to happen that fast. Twinkling moment, the twinkling of an eye. Our ministry's coming to an end on planet Earth, folks. It really is. Going to come back. I said, we're going to come up and take it back 7 years later. But I'm telling you right now, this thing is coming to an end. This revival, I believe, could very well resume in the hallowed halls of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. I really feel that with all my heart. Something in me, there's an urgency. There's a sense of brevity of life. You're planning, you're talking, you're preparing. James said, that's arrogance, that's pride. And you say, today or tomorrow, we'll do this thing. He said, no. He said, humble yourself. Get in the Lord's will. Live in the middle of his will. Don't talk bad about each other. Don't talk bad about each other. Don't do it, folks. The people you're talking bad about, it's God's kids. I want to stop right here. If you talk bad about my son, it's going to hurt me. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't know what I'm big enough to do, but if you hurt my boy, I'm telling you, you're going to have the wrath of John Davis on you. I'll be all over you like ugly on an ape. How many knows what I'm talking about, folks? And I'm not a mean man, I know it, but I'm telling you right now, there's something about my son, I love him so much, and people that hurt your kids, people that hurt, oh my. I'm starting to feel just a smidgen of what God Almighty must feel when you put a hand on one of his. God slaps that hand and says, no, leave him alone. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people that's going to the woodshed in this last hour. I've been to the woodshed. I don't want to go back. I said, I don't want to go back, folks. You talk about the chastening hand of God. It's not cancer. No, cancer's from the devil. God didn't burn your house down. I said, all good gifts come from God. Negative, detrimental, damaging, dooming powers are from Satan. And so God don't chastise you with cancer, a cancer whip, and a cancer stick. That's the devil telling you that. One look's all it took for Simon. And he went out and cried like a baby. David's heart smote within him. I'm telling you, he's the father of spirits. He'll deal with your spirit. He'll turn his back. I've seen the back of God, and I've cried and I've wailed like a baby being whipped. My God, please, I'm so sorry. I'd rather you kick me all over this platform than have God turn his back on me and said, son, you have hurt me. You've grieved my spirit. Folks, God's chastening a lot of people today. And I'm going to tell you the ultimate chasing. You know what it is? When the father looks at you with displeasure, and you know that you've displeased your earthly father, and he turns his back on you and he walks away, the hurt. Privilege is withdrawn. You go to your room. Privilege is withdrawn. A lot of us live below our privilege in God because God's had to take us to a woodshed. But I'm going to tell you, if you will humble your heart and humble yourself, he's not going to destroy you. He loves you. And God will forgive. But I'm going to tell you right now, God don't need help in whipping the rest of his kids. I volunteered a long time ago to help him out. I knew who needed it. Amen. I had some in my church that I had some sisters that needed it real bad. I knew they needed it. And so I told him, God, I'm going to help you out. And God said, I don't need your help. Amen. How many knows? He knows how to. Come on, folks. Don't look so pious. You know what I'm talking about. We're all that way. There's something in us. We just kind of want to move in and touch and reach out. And God says, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Folks, dictator, spectator, imitator, commentator, irritator, agitator, rotator, hesitator, devastator. And there's a spirit that'll come on you. If you don't get in this revival, there's another anointing that'll come on you from hell. And that anointing will turn you into a destroyer, a devastator. With your words, with your lifestyle, you'll kill yourself spiritually, everybody around you. Now, folks, all of these taters are rotten taters. Everybody say rotten taters. There's another one I forgot, regurgitator. Everybody say regurgitator. This is the backslider. As the dog goes back to his vomit. So, come on, folks. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of people that are eating vomit and slop, and you've gone back to your old, I'm getting sick just talking about it, folks, amen. I'm going to stop on this one, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a backslider, you're eating vomit, and God says, I've got something for you that'll bless your life. I don't like the taste of vomit. Say amen, somebody. I'm not going to go back to the pig pen of sin. I'm not going to go back to religion. When Jerry was leading us in the song, and he's saying, I don't want to go back to my old way, my old lifestyle, I felt my hand shoot in the air, and I said, God, I'm asking you tonight, don't let me become what I was. Oh, God, keep me in the fresh flow of this river anointing until the rapture takes place. Help me, Lord, when the trumpet sounds, to be right smack dab under the spout where the glory's coming out, and that cloud of glory is knocking devils down and knocking people down and setting people free from sin, self, Satan, sickness. Come on, folks, don't revert back. Give God a hand of praise. But there's another side of this family, and they're the sweet taters. Say sweet taters. You know what? I've met a lot of you in 22 weeks. Sweet spirit. You know, preach more, preacher. Hit me harder. I like that. Oh, I want you to come down where I'm living, preacher. I got on the platform one night, and I asked a pastor years ago, I said, got any sinners here? He said, they all are. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen. I think of Sister Reed. She's been on my mind a lot. I told Deb the other day, I said, she lives in Alabama. I said, when we get down here in Pensacola, I'm going to look her up. I believe she's still alive because for 3 months, she's been on my mind. And so we joined hands and prayed for her. The sweetest little saint. And I met some of you in 22 weeks that remind me of Sister Reed. You couldn't offend her. You know why? She didn't wear her feelings on her sleeve. She didn't have a chip on her shoulder. She lived with a husband who was rotator, dictator, imitator, all the above. But Sister Reed was sweet-tater. And the sweetness, the savor of his presence was upon her. And she'd come to church, and you could tell she'd been through a living hell, but you couldn't tell it by her countenance. You could just see it. He wouldn't sit by her, but she still loved the Lord, and she would sit there on the second pew. There every service, hands in the air, praising God. When I was called to preach, I preached some of the best saints into hell about every service. I was a mean preacher, and she would amen me as I would preach, and I'd try to get hard on purpose. I don't know why I was that way, but I just wanted to really hurt people, amen. And so, you know, I'd get down there, and I thought, you know, if you want to be a great preacher, you got to be a hard preacher. And I'd been around great men of God like Brother Clendenin. He'd been one of my heroes, still is. But you know, I mean, you go preach for him. It's not how good you preach. It's how hard you preach. Amen. And boy, you just got to keep preaching hard. One day, a man was preaching for him. He preached against everything that moved. If it didn't move, he shot at the nest. Amen. He just preaching, against everything. Everybody. And he turned to Brother Clendenin and said, Bert, ain't nobody going to make it. Amen. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you. I felt that way. How many knows? It's going to take the grace of God to help us all. But I mean, we've all been down that road of legalism. And you know, your hair's not long enough. It's too short. And you know, you're not doing right. But she just put up with me. Whatever I put out, she put up with. She loved God. She loved me. And there's where I cut my teeth, learning to preach. Nobody else let me preach. My dad did. Sister Reed would listen. And she would amen me. And you know, she didn't make a lot of money. But she would give. She was faithful. She was consistent. I was trying to think of the word to describe Sister Reed. Sweet. There's the word, folks. She was faithful, consistent, loved God, but she had that sweet, kind spirit that left an indelible, impeccable impression upon my life. She's been on my mind a lot. I think of Mabel. Mabel had the mind of an 8-year-old. Mabel was 60 years old, but Mabel, when she was a baby, had some kind of fever that affected her for life. But she was the first to come to church, the last to leave. She would testify, and you talk about enthusiastic response, reminded you of a child, but she was the first to bebop up there and brag on Jesus. She couldn't talk plain, but listen close. You understood her, and even though we didn't sometime, how many knows he does? Mabel loved the Lord. She really loved Jesus. Nobody, you couldn't beat Mabel in testimony service. Dad said, we're going to have a testimony service. There's one time somebody beat her testifying, and she turned and gave them a look like, that'll be the last time you'll ever do that. Amen. I mean, she... Now, you're thinking of sweet taters as I'm talking right now. And I see, yeah, there's a lot of you out there. In fact, most of you. I'm not going to say all of you because I wouldn't have anybody responding to the altar call. Amen. There are a lot of sweet people in the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, Mabel, I didn't know that she left the impact on my life. I really didn't know that. You see, as preacher boys, and you got your buddies, and because Mabel was that way, we would have fun with her, and we'd pick on her, and just do some things that just wasn't really mean, but kind of ornery, and I'm really ashamed to say too much more, but I'm telling you, God's forgiven me. If God doesn't forgive you, how many knows that that time when they can hold it against you, it runs out, amen, whatever they call it. But anyway, God's forgiven me. But we'd, like, you know, she loved money, and so we'd throw money down on the ground, and she'd start looking for it, you know, and we just loved to pick on her. But she, Mabel loved the St. Louis Cardinals, and we'd give her baseball cards. But I'm telling you, folks, I didn't know that she left an impact on my life. I was pastoring my first church, Kansas City. Dad called and said, Mabel's dying. She lived with her mom. Grandma Horton was an old woman at that time, 80, 90 years old. Mabel, 60. Rushed Mabel in because of pains in her stomach. Opened up her stomach, eat up with cancer, giving her days to live. Hung up the phone, separated from years from where Dad was calling, by miles rather, and separated from years from my childhood. But I knelt on the the sofa there in Raytown, Missouri, and I cried like a baby. Mabel, Mabel, the first to come to church, the last to leave, loved Jesus, testified. She would get up and sing, "Jesus, sign my pardon." And she would sing, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." And my dad would sing with her. Mabel couldn't talk plain. You couldn't understand what she was saying, but God understood every word she said. And Mabel would just sing with all of her heart. Well, us preacher boys and different boys were just having fun, having the time of our life. Here's how it happened when she died. "Mom, Mom," she said, "come here. Do you see him? Do you see him?" Grandma Horton came in and said, "Mabel, what are you looking at?" I said, "Mom, they're coming for me. Look at him." Grandma Horton thought she was delirious. Said, "Mabel, what? Mom, look. Horses. Angels. They're right up there. Mom, see them? They're coming for me." And when Dad told me the story, he said, "Mabel died with a glow of glory on her face as caravans of angels swooped down in that little ramshackle hovel and picked up that little woman, 8-year-old mind, and took her into the presence of God." Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Mabel's in heaven today. I get there, I'm going to make it by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not in her category. She's got rewards, and she's got blessings, and she's got crowns. You know why? Faithful, consistent, sweet, all those years, a testimony, a song. Ladies and gentlemen, when she sings now, everybody will understand, "Jesus, sign my pardon. This I surely know. I've got a mansion just over." She's there. I said she is there in the presence of God. As I was putting the finishing touches on this message, the sweet taters, Mabel, Sister Reed, these people have left the indelible impression upon my life. I think of Jesus Christ, and I want you to listen to me. His life was a rebuke to pride in every form and appearance. He hath no form nor comeliness, reputation. Is not this the carpenter's son, fame? He shall be called a Nazarene from Nazareth. Possessions. Nowhere to lay his head. Kingship. He washed the disciples' feet. Ladies and gentlemen, superiority. I am among you as he that serveth. Power. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Praise. They laughed him to scorn. Death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They beat his back till it was a bloody mango, mass of jelly swollen to a pulp. God's Son, who had the power to reach out in one wave of his hand to annihilate humanity. He could have called, not 10,000 angels, that's a wrong song. He could have called over 12 legions of angels. That's over 72,000 angels. Isaiah 37:36, one angel comes down in one night and destroys 185,000 Assyrians. He could have called over 72,000 angels, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It doesn't stop there. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John Davis, how can I get rid of my pride? Just take one look at him. I said, take one look at him, and if you'll take a long look at him and behold the Lamb and the Lion and the glory of God, it'll bring you to your knees, and you'll repent all of your life, because there's only one to be exalted. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet all over this building. Lift your hands and praise him. Praise him in the back. Praise him in the front. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. His name is wonderful. Lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Oh, God. Oh, God, Jesus, 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 if you will continually do what you're doing right now, you will humble yourself every day. If you stop giving him glory, you'll become a spectator, dictator, commentator, irritator, agitator, rotator, hesitator. But if you will continually bow and bend and bathe in His presence and glorify Him, you will humble yourself and He will give you more grace. He's the talk of heaven. He must be the talk of the town. He must be the center of attention, the focus of our affection, the main attraction every service. His name is Jesus. You got a problem with pride? Who doesn't? Every day, the sinister minister of destruction, pride, will come. But immediately, you begin to glorify Jesus. It's not your education, your sophistication, your abilities, your longevity in the church, your opinion. Who cares about your opinion? You do, that's all. God didn't ask you your opinion. He set the plan up. He's got a way. It's His way. It's all the way. And that pride must be dealt with tonight. Everybody here, open your eyes and look at me. I didn't finish this message. It's a long, long message. Four things pride does. You forget the grace you've been shown. I wrote this down for you. You lose the attitude. There but for the grace of God go I. We all should be shoveling coal below, but we're not. Somebody's fallen. They're in the dirt. The Jericho Road. You don't need to throw stones at those who are hurting. You don't need to bury the wounded. How many knows they need help and hope and love? Pride, the young preacher to the elder, speaking of the sexual sins of a brother who had fallen. I'd never do that. The elder said, you've already fallen. You've fallen to pride. He fell to lust, but you fell to pride. I don't even want to hear the details about somebody that's fallen. John Davis is a changed man. There was a time that became the talk. And you'd always guys in religiosity, oh, I hate to hear that. Oh, God bless him. And what happened? Where did it happen? How many? No, folks. You come to a place in God, you leave that with God, and you reach out and you pray for them. If people can't find help, love, forgiveness in the house of God, where are they going to find it? Where are they going to find it? You forget the grace you've been shown. The violation of place you've been given. God has called you and given you gifts, not to covet another's. You've got a place in the body of Christ. If you're out of place because of ambition, because of pride, you become a dictator, spectator, rotator, commentator, irritator, agitator, a rotten tater. The insistence of space you think is yours. What is your response when somebody invades your space? Get out of my seat. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? Jump out in front of you in traffic. Get in front of you. At Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on, say amen, folks. It's noon. I'm hungry. I've been at church. I was here first. Boy, it takes a real person the glory of God to say, go right ahead. Boy, that'd be the sign of revival. How many knows? We know revival's hit. We start letting people get in front of us. I'm already under conviction. I'm going to be the first down here tonight, Kenny. I'm feeling conviction right now. Concern over the face you feel you lost. Look what they done to me. Don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are? No. Look what they done to Jesus. All eyes on Him. I said all eyes on Him. Lift your hands one more time and whisper His name. Whisper His name. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's a part of me, there's a fear right now that I'm going to rebuke, but it came on me just a few seconds ago. It's a fear of giving this altar call. A fear that the ones that need us not going to come, but everybody else that's hungry and is going to humble themselves. God's showing you pride, but there's some so steeped in that, you don't think it's pride. You call it anything and everything. I don't belong to this church. I don't believe like you believe. What's that got to do with it? I'm talking about Jesus. You're going to fall before Him someday. Don't wait till that day. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. I want everybody here to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I want you to whisper the name of Jesus. And God's going to show you pride. God's going to show you pride. Ain't no doubt in my mind. God don't jack his jaws and flap his lips and waste his words. He gave me a message. It's been percolating for weeks, and God says it's time. 22nd week of revival. God said, I've got a crowd there tonight that's going to be bringing pride, arrogance, and I want them to leave it. I want them to become children and humble themselves in my presence. Sean Davis, God is convicting me right now of arrogance, pride, haughtiness. He's showing me that there's times I become dictator, spectator. I become part of that tater family. I don't want to be a part of that family. I want to be a sweet person with the fragrance and the freshness of the rose of Sharon, the savor of his glory. I want them to get a whiff of immortality, Jesus, when I pass them. John Davis, he's convicting me right now of the sin of pride. And I'm coming down to repent if I'm talking to you. Don't you wait a second. Don't you look for anybody's approval. Like a child, run into his father. Get out of your seat and run down here and stand in his presence. All over the building. Just come and stand in his presence. All over this auditorium. I didn't know it was in me till I got to the service. I didn't know it was there until I got to the church. Come close, gather in the middle. There's a crowd coming behind you. He's showing me pride. I need to repent. I need to repent in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit shows you junk in your life and shows you sin. Pride will keep you at the pew. But that a humble, hungry spirit will move you into his presence. If you need to repent, I'm going to wait. There's a crowd standing here. There's a crowd standing here tonight, but there are others. The Holy Spirit's moving. God's given the altar call. I want more grace, more than I want anything in this world. His name is wonderful. Sing it, Dave. Others are coming.
His name, Jesus, is wonderful.
Oh, yes, it is.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Oh, he is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
He's
the great shepherd.
He's the rock.
The rock of all ages.
Almighty God.
Almighty God. He is he.
Jesus.
Oh, bow down before him in love and adore
Jesus.
Him. His Jesus. Name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
I want you to close your eyes and whisper the name of Jesus. The grace of God, unmerited favor, undeserved mercy, unconditional love. There's a crowd standing at the foot of the cross. But the Holy Spirit just whispered in my spirit that there are people out there, your pride has kept you back. And that's what you need to repent of. There's people you're not getting along with, family members, at work, neighbors. Only by pride cometh contention. It may be their fault, but God will give you grace to put up with what they put out, and it's not going to blow your mind or throw you for a loop. You will reap kindness against their animosity, and you'll overcome their hate with love. I felt the Holy Spirit just tell me that. My God, it's amazing what comes out of your mouth when you stand under the anointing. Because I stand in conviction every time I preach. You overcome evil with good. You overcome evil with good. Family members need healing and love and help and hope. But God is saying, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself. I thank God. I thank God for His anointing tonight. More grace. When God showed me, He has no favors, but He has intimates. You're not His favorite child, but you can be closer to Him than other children if you get closer. But some are close enough. Some have all that they want. Not me. Not me. I'm telling you right now, I don't want your applause, your money, but I want the grace of God on my life. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. I remove all obstructions and I set everybody free to flow with that river anointing in the name of Jesus. John Davis, I didn't come down, but God's dealing with me. I need to respond. I need more grace. I'm going through situations. My pride is keeping me back. I need Him. I'm coming right now. I'm going to wait just 10 seconds. The Holy Spirit's moving. Don't you wait for anybody's approval. Don't you ask anybody's permission. If you feel in your spirit that God's dealing with you tonight, get out of your seat. One, two, three more is coming. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Come on tonight. It just seemed like in this revival, this is the way the Lord's working. There's another surge that'll go forth and I'll feel Him say, wait. He'll tell me to wait. There's more. There's more. I'm so glad He'd give me grace to obey Him. Jesus, come on right now. I felt somebody start to move out. You need the grace of God. He'll set you free. There's more grace. There's more grace. You don't need another message. You've memorized everything I've told you. What preacher can touch you? No, it's going to take the grace of God. He gives more grace. Submit yourself to God. Humble. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of heaven. He will exalt you. Jesus. Just praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. What is it tonight that just burdens me and I'm so heavy as I stand here? I'll tell you what it is. It's a dozen people. The dynamite couldn't move them because they don't need it. And they're the ones that need it. They're the ones that need it. Jesus. I'm going to wait just a few more seconds because God won't let me go on. I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge of this service tonight. Another one's coming. I'm not the leader in this revival. The Holy Spirit is. John Davis, I need to move out of my seat right now, out of my comfort zone. I need to come and humble myself in His presence. Another one's coming. Come on, hurry. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, move out of your seat right now. Move out of your seat right now and come and stand. There's more grace. There's more grace. There's more grace. Wife, get a hold of that husband's hand. Lead him down here. Husband, get a hold of that wife's hand. Lead her down here. You know you need more grace. We're going to sing it one last time. His name is wonderful. Sing it, Dave. Get out of your seat and come.
Oh, His name is wonderful.
Oh, yes.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Oh, He is the mighty King, the Master of everything.
His name
is my Lord.
He's the great shepherd.
Oh, he's the great shepherd.
He's the rock.
The rock of all ages.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Bow down before him.
Oh, bow down before him.
Love and adore him.
And love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Jesus, close your eyes, everybody. The same spirit that moved on by the sea moor at Azusa, who hid behind a milk crate, didn't want to be seen, preached Jesus, exalted the Lord. That same spirit has moved here for 22 weeks. You've heard me say I'm sick of myself. I've never been more sick of me than I am tonight. I'm sick of religion. I'm sick of the norm, the status quo. Sick of your opinions. Just hungry for pure Jesus. World goes to hell, your opinions hadn't saved them. God will, if we'll just get out of the way and let that river anointing carry us into the flow. He's in the land, folks. He's in the land. 22 weeks, the Holy Spirit's moved. He's moving tonight. It's a new night. There's a new call. There's a fresh anointing. I have felt a deepening of this river. As I sit here this morning, God spoke and said, it's not going to be the thunderous noise. It's going to be a steady deepening in my people's lives. Prayer team, I don't want you to come up here tonight. I want you to stay right where you're at. This revival is not about your ability to pray for people. It's about your humility before God. His grace precedes His glory. Don't you ever let the devil pressure you and condemn you and drive you with all kinds of religious ideas that I'm not close enough to God. No. You develop that devotional, intimate communion with God, and that's where the power comes, His presence. I was borderline burnout before I left this revival, and I didn't know it. It's just resting in the presence of God, that enthusiasm, a second breath, a second touch, a second wind. It hit me. I said, Deb, I'm excited about going back to Miami. Why? Because the need is great and only He can meet the need. But I see a harvest, a harvest, a harvest, a harvest. The time is ripe. They sung the song, souls, souls, souls. But you got to get out of the way, prayer team. It's not about First Assembly. It's not about all that you've done. It's about the grace of God. I want everybody to place your hand over your heart, please. As you place your hand over your heart, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to visualize Him and Him only. They saw no man save Jesus only. This is how you humble yourself. One long look at Him. And once you see Him, you'll never have any trouble getting out of the way. It's just many times we don't see Him. We see rules, traditions, regulations, religion. We see the preacher, but we don't see Him. One glimpse, one glimpse of Him, it'll bring everybody to their knees. My God, with your hand over your heart, I want you right now to move in that spiritual realm and look at Jesus. Everything He did was a rebuke to pride, reputation, appearance. They laughed Him to scorn. He had the power to reach out, annihilate, retaliate. He didn't. Oh, God. Oh, God. Look at Him. Look at Him, please. Don't get your eyes off of Him. I rebuke that distraction right now in Jesus' name. Everybody in the building, look at Jesus from Nazareth. God never sent an army. He sent a baby to shake the world. That baby grew up like we grow up. The Son of God left the royal regalia of the upper world and took the quantum leap, the tremendous dive from the top to the bottom, to the sea of humanity to save us that were drowning and going down for the third time. Look at Jesus. Angels were not His nursemaids, born in a barn. the bleeding of animals, the first sound the infinite ears heard. The mighty high becomes mighty nigh. The ancient of days becomes the infant of days. My, what a birth. Jesus, God, became man. Look at him. Look at him, please. If you've got to close your eyes to see him, see him. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Ridiculed, despised, and mocked, and jeered, and sneered. Yet he went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. Kenny says, my friend and my hero. Look at him. Once you see him, you'll never have any trouble with your pride. You'll humble yourself and see how he walked the Via Dolorosa. His back was beaten, bleeding, butchered. The Calvarian massacre. Hanging naked, not behind a hill, but on top of a hill. Suspended, God died for you and for me. Look at him. Look at him. Once you see what he did, now humble yourself as you begin to repent. As you begin to repent for pride, say these words, dear God, forgive me for arrogance, haughtiness. In the name of Jesus, as humble as I know how, and by your grace, I humble myself. Forgive me, Lord, for hurting you, grieving you, offending you, for hurting your children. Forgive me, Lord, for negative words that I have said about those that you died for. I'm sorry. I'm sinned. Set me free. In the name of Jesus, I repent. Tonight, help me, Lord. Help me, Father, by your grace, to exalt you, you alone. No man seen, no talent, education, abilities, just your glory. Just your glory. In the name of Jesus, in a four-state area, people can forget the choir, the preacher, the name of the church. But they'll see Jesus. They'll see Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, I repent. Forgive me. Purge me. Set me free. Never the same. Because of this night, according to your word, right now, as I pray this prayer, there's more grace. There's more grace. I thank you, Father. For more grace, according to your word, as I submit to God, right now, there's power, authority over Satan. Devil, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Right now, you're gone. Leave my family. Leave this church. In the name of Jesus, there'll be no division, no schism. In the church, in our home, in our community, right now, one body, one family, one Lord. In the name of Jesus, we resist the devil and we receive the pure grace of God. I thank you, Jesus. Your glory follows your grace. Amen. Lift your hands and praise him. Just lift your hands and praise him right now. Just lift your hands and praise him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just praise him, just praise him, just praise him. Just praise him, just praise him, just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, I love you so much tonight. I love you so much tonight. I love you so much tonight. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. There's a bathing in the grace of God that I feel tonight. There's a bathing in the grace of God. The grace of God brings healing. Grace of God brings healing tonight. It's a healing balm in Gilead.
Us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember this. Jesus withdrew himself to rest. The need was there, but the need does not always necessitate you be there. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the needs are always there. And if you let needs drive you, you'll burn out and you'll get stressed out. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so as we got down to rest, I began to realize the importance of pulling away for a time of just resting. During that time, turned down a couple invitations to minister there in Pensacola and just to sit and soak in the presence of the Lord. But come Friday, myself and Deb was riding down the highway, and I said, you know, I'm excited about getting back to Miami. I'm excited about the revival. And the closer we got to here, folks, I'm telling you, the more excited I got. I know that we're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. I'm going to tell you something. God's done some great things in 22 weeks. But you ain't seen nothing yet. How many's hungry? You want to see more?